All right, I'm going to start it off. I hope Mitch doesn't mind in the way that we would start off any other interview. I'm going to ask you to tell us who you are and what you do.
All right. My name is Laura Craigle, and I am a volunteer news reporter here at KNOM Radio in Nome, Alaska, at least for a little while longer.
And we are also joined by my co-host. Tell us who you are and what you do.
My name's Mitch Borden. I am a volunteer producer here at KNOM Radio Mission in Nome, Alaska. It's Borden, like the cheese in the axe murder. B-O-R-D-E-N. And I did not eat breakfast this morning.
Oh, Laura Craigle did.
I did.
She betrayed me.
What'd you have?
I had the Reese's Puff cereal, newly acquired by the thoughtful grocery run of Emily Russell and Madison Winchester. Mitch could have easily opened the cereal box this morning and yet somehow chose not to.
I have tact.
What would I have been waiting for, might I ask?
I don't know.
It was good. I stand by it.
Good. All right. So we are here for Laura Craigle's first and last.
Last.
Maybe not last.
Audio blog.
I'm going to blog from well, I mean, not here anymore.
We might do one altogether.
Oh, yes, of course. Yep.
Yes, but I guess the point is that this will be my last personal blog entry, and writing seemed difficult. Like, that wasn't how I wanted to tackle the last one, so I guess I'm jumping on the audio blog bandwagon for at least one post.
Mitch, do you want to start us off? Ask the hard questions. He's thinking.
Best to narrate that. He's wearing a red Menards hat as well. It's a kind of colorful detail that really sets the scene.
So, Laura Craigle, you're 3 days out, right, from your year anniversary here in Nome, Alaska?
2 days out.
2 days out? How about you just start by explaining who you were and where you were at a year ago?
A year ago, June 4th, is when I arrived. And I was coming from back home outside of Chicago. And I was working at a marketing publishing kind of firm, doing lots of different kinds of writing and script writing, article writing, infographic copy for businesses and whatnot. And a lot of the skills that I liked, but applied for something that I didn't have any super intense personal interest in. And so I was super excited to come up here to do the same sort of stuff that I like, to write and interview and research and edit, but do it for a thing that, you know, more obviously mattered and was about people and not businesses. And now that I am here a year later and I've done all of that kinds of work, and it was exactly what I hoped it would be, which is really amazing. It was really about getting to meet people and hear about the challenges and joys and excitements of their lives, and to meet those people in many different places and in our community in Nome and around the region, and have a chance just to kind of help share their stuff out on the radio and be in a place where people, I don't know, cared about those stories. And I don't know, it feels very incredible to, after a year ago when I would write something and put it out in the world and for all I knew, nobody would ever, ever consume it. Nobody would ever read it. To have people give you feedback at the grocery store or on the airstrip in Wales and be like, oh, I heard that on KNOM. I was like, wow. Yep, that was the thing I worked on. And it was just really everything I hoped it would be in terms of being about real people.
And I think it's really interesting because all of us came here for different reasons and with different interests and backgrounds. And your background was mostly in print. And, of course, I don't think any of us really had a background in radio. But I'm curious as to how you think your experience in radio has changed your background in journalism and what sort of power you think that has, specifically in the region, and how you view radio now.
Yeah, I think it's really different. And I don't know, I love print, and like I always did. That's what we did. We were a newspaper family, and magazines and some writing for like the web, which is very different, but still kind of in that realm. And I don't know. We just were never a radio family, so I didn't listen to it much, and I guess I didn't know what to expect. And now I find that I have far less patience with print stories because radio just has that really amazing quality of having the immediacy, and, you know, it's so different to hear someone's voice and to hear how they say their quote than it is to just read it. And so now when I'm reading print stories, I'm just like, I wonder about that aspect and how it might have been different if I had heard them say it, or, you know, what it just would have added, because I feel like radio adds so much. And so I really love that, and am pleasantly surprised at how much I've enjoyed that. And I like the simplicity of radio scripts compared to sometimes print. I would definitely, I don't know, I like words, so I'll write myself into this big elaborate sentence sometimes, and radio is a gift in kind of like forcing you to just say it in a way that someone would actually want to hear it if they're just at work with the radio on in the background, which is great. So I am very happy to have kind of gained that skill to some degree. Definitely will keep working on it, but I think it's made my writing better in general. It's made my interviewing better, because I'm not just looking for the content, but I'm looking for making someone comfortable in a way where they'll say it in their own voice. It's made me a better interviewer for sure. And so I'm excited to stay with radio for a bit and see how it all goes.
Do you relate with your subjects and the place you're, like, the region you're covering differently after, like, learning these new skills with radio?
I don't know. I guess maybe, what do you mean?
I guess, does it become more personal, like, when you're recording their voice and listening to their voice over and over again? And do you start viewing, like, you cover Western Alaska, so, like, if you've gone to White Mountain and talked to someone there, do you start, like, thinking about that community differently rather than just going there and taking notes and transcribing something for a piece?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Like, I think just the act of asking someone for an interview is really different when you're going to pull out a recorder. And if you've just got a notepad and a pen, it seems like, in my experience, are more ready to talk to you. And the second you have some sort of piece of equipment, it's a hurdle for a lot of people. And I think that's very warranted. People are nervous about their voice. People are nervous about having some sort of third-party elements just be there. And so entering into an interview then, and a conversation with someone with that element, I think forces you to be more personal with them, because you're asking them to almost give more. And you then have to be respectful of that and make sure that they feel comfortable. And so I think for that way, definitely. And because, I don't know, it's you are just then sitting with tape and listening to tape of people talking about themselves or their families or their community. And it is so much more than just like transcribing or looking at your notes over and over again and trying to decipher your own messy handwriting, which becomes like where your mind is. It's about like listening to someone's voice and trying to respectfully treat it in a way that will then produce a story that is timely and time sensitive and communicative to everyone. Definitely feels like a lot of responsibility when you do it. So yes, I think it is very personal, at the same time that you want to be professional with that personal relationship.
Do you have a favorite story that you've covered, or issue that you've covered, or sort of a most memorable piece that you've worked on? Or sort of theme?
I don't know. I feel like the story that I had picked for a long time was interviewing Wallace Unguilluk and his family in Gamble as he was doing basketball. And now, so many months later, it's like, it's definitely not my best story. So I wouldn't say it's my favorite story that I've done, but it was very it was my first like radio kind of piece. And it was my first kind of like interview when I got here. It was my first trip out of Nome. And it was kind of intense, because it's like they invited me into their home. So I met his whole family, you know, petting the dog. You know, I met the basketball coach and hung out at his school where he, you know, had spent, you know, his whole life. And then you get to their house and, you know, you're invited to have dinner, and it's all these really special foods that the family works so, so hard to get. And then you're being offered an opportunity to share in that. And then, you know, we watched home videos after the interview, and there's just family photos all on the wall. And it's, I think that was probably a very formative story experience, because it very much kind of illustrated to me just the importance of Western Alaska. And it's just, it was a good way for me to understand the families that we talk to every day on the radio in a more, you know, immediate sense. I was in their room, their living room, and I was with them for, I don't even know how many hours we were hanging out there. So it was, I think, a good experience, hopefully for them. I really hope so. Talked to them a little bit afterwards, and it seems like it was okay. But it was, I know that it was really good for me as I then moved forward and obviously learned to produce better and better stories, but a very important experience to kind of have when I approach things.
I think we've been like talking about like a lot of technical stuff and like what's your favorite story or whatever. And I think a lot of times in these goodbye things, like it's really easy to be like, what was the most important part of your year? What was the most like best thing you ever did? And that's impossible to answer. But what are some moments for you that personally stand out? Like, what are the stories you're going to tell people?
Oh, so many moments stand out, which is impressive about this place. It's a memorable place, memorable people sort of everywhere. Oh, man. One, I don't know, very special kind of moment to me, just when we're doing race season, we all working very long hours, I think feeling really excited, but also just really tired and stressed and learning about what mushing and snow machining are as you are then supposed to cover it and all of the challenges therein. But with that mindset, you know, the first musher is going to come in for the Iditarod, and just being out of town at 5 a.m, 5 miles out, and the northern lights are perfectly dancing overhead, and I'm the first person in town to see Dallas Seavey's headlamp come over the horizon. And, you know, he's going to win the Iditarod, and just getting to scout that and to see that moment after weeks and weeks of, like, trying to understand this thing and trying to talk about it competently and try to enjoy it at the same time that you're stressed about it. It was just like, and here's the moment that you work towards where it's all becoming more real. And it was just beautiful. That moment sticks out to me a lot because I was kind of alone on the edge of the tundra, just enjoying that kind of brief break before the next whirlwind of race season began just a few minutes later. But I really, that sticks out. Boating on the Nyuklluk River and then into the Fish River, I think, is a huge highlight for me. Emily Mitch and I were both there for educator cultural camp put on by the school district, which just covering the school district in general was definitely a highlight for me. But that moment was really, really incredible.
It's amazing.
So beautiful. And watching this, like, really experienced, you know, fisherman and just guy who's lived here his whole life navigate this river that is so low. And he knows exactly where to drive the boat so that nothing is amiss.
It's like the lines of his hand. Like, he knew it as well as the lines of his hand.
It's like, as we go by, I'm like, this can't be more than a few inches deep. And he knows exactly where to drive this boat. And it was kind of just like,
we saw salmon. It was so low we could see the tops of salmon pushing over sandbars.
Yeah, because they were out of the water because it was so shallow. And he was just like, oh, yeah, no, I got it. And then being at their home, and I don't know, we walked in that first day and they wanted us to introduce ourselves. And we're being, like, stared at by 25 people who all know each other or have been getting to know each other in this very intense environment. And they all have these very similar goals and backgrounds about education and the importance of education in our region. And we just kind of, like, walk in and are like, hey.
We were literally just off the boat.
Yes. And it showed. And just the feeling of having to...
You were wearing sneakers.
I did not wear the right shoes. I fought with myself, like, okay, what shoes am I going to wear to this? I've been made fun of for wearing the rain boots, the muck boots to something where I guess it was deemed inappropriate there. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that again. I'm just going to wear these. It'll be great. Trashed forever. Feet soaked for 3 straight days or however long we were there.
That was the first time we saw White Mountain.
Oh, my goodness. White Mountain is so beautiful. Standing on the top of, I think White Mountain is a highlight as well, because going there once in the summer and then going once in the winter and getting to revisit a community and see some of the same people that I saw last time, get to, you know, catch the native store, which I didn't do the first time. So doing some of the same things, doing some new things, and just the chance to revisit, I think, was really, really cool. And so standing at the top of White Mountain, you know, in the summer and getting to look down the river and see Golovin off in the distance and see, you know, this network of rivers that people depend on and love and have lived in for so long. And then months later to do the same view and see it, you know, completely covered in ice and snow and people snow machining instead of boating and being just as, you know, competent at their travel and their connections to all these different places and getting that vantage point was amazing. So yes, White Mountain. Love White Mountain.
We may be nearing the end of this unless we want to keep going, but I'm going to ask you two questions. The first is if you wouldn't mind telling us what you're up to next.
Sure. I am excited to be staying in radio for a little bit. I am off to Unalaska, Dutch Harbor area in the Aleutians to work at the radio station there called KUCB. And I'll be there for 3 months to start, and then I guess we'll see what happens after that. I think there's the possibility of some longer work, depending on the state funding and whatnot, as everyone is eager to see how that all plays out. But that's what I'll be doing in less than 2 weeks. Wow.
And the last question that gets asked at the end of every interview, is there something that we didn't ask that you want to talk about? Anything that you want to mention?
You're just throwing interview structure like in my face and torturing me with it.
I have a question before we ask that.
All right.
Yeah, let's do another question first.
This one's going to be just as rough.
Love it. Let's do it.
How do you want to say goodbye?
Oh, that's hard because I don't know that I do. And that's what makes it very challenging. I don't know. It's hard because, you know, obviously with you guys, you know, I'm not just saying goodbye to working at this radio station or even this community, but it's like there's all these different like levels of things that I need to, you know, not resolve obviously or conclude because I don't want to conclude them, but, you know, set right and put in a good spot before I leave. So it's like with you guys, I'm like, okay, we're planning to take this drive and we're going to have a bonfire and we're going to do dinner this night. And I know that those things are a really nice way to kind of start saying goodbye to everybody. And I don't know how to do that community-wide because I don't have that relationship with everyone, which is okay. You're not going to have it with everyone, but I don't know. It's hard to know what the right thing to do is. So I have a little time to try to brainstorm and think about how I do want to do it, but I think maybe just taking the small opportunities that present themselves to see everyone I can see a few more times and enjoy some of the nice summer, you know, just use my time well to do the couple things I can think that I want to do and then just be okay with that and know that I can and should come back and it'll be different then, but it'll be good to know that I, you know, I'm hopefully not done with Gnome in its entirety, so... That's a hard question that I don't know that I have an answer or feel good about any approximation of an answer I can come up with at the spot, but I guess that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we always talk about how it's magic, right?
Yeah. Western Alaska is magic. If you haven't been here, you should come up. It's very special. So I feel like I should have some sort of magic special way to kind of conclude my time here, and there just isn't because there isn't, I guess.
It's not a movie. It's not a radio piece. There's no structure.
Yeah, I can't conclude it in this nice way because it is more like life. But doing this is good, I think, for me to start doing this a little bit more concretely because obviously it's all happening in my head and has been for a little while now, but it's so impending every day sooner and sooner, so it's good for me to articulate things out loud. So this is a good venture for us. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and in terms of anything else I would want to add, and the true last question that you always ask, I guess I would just say thank you because I just feel very lucky, very grateful. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we're not perfect and we're not fun or easy or, you know, about everything this year and about any year in my life. But aside from all those sorts of things, which benefit me in different ways, the cumulative experience of being here is very, very special and never been afforded quite you know, any sort of opportunity that would even, you know, come close to eclipsing this. So I just feel very, very grateful to everyone at K&OM for bringing me up here for a bit, everyone who I had the chance to meet here in town, everyone who I, you know, met briefly or, you know, in any capacity, you know, anywhere around the region, whether it's, you know, being invited to somebody's home and gamble the first time or just chatting up, you know, a restaurant owner in Kotzebue last weekend, you know, just casual. Every one of those kind of small things mattered a lot to me and made me hopefully a better reporter, a better person, all those sorts of things that I feel like are very true. So in that vein, Koyana, thank you. And I'll be back, hopefully.